How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands to tell on yourself, but how many of you have been through recently Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out or McDonald's? All right. So now, some people are grinning and they don't want to tell on themselves. So I know that you've been. All right. So yesterday, I'll tell on myself. I was going up to Grass Valley to pick up my son from Wolf Mountain Christian Camp. Left at 7:30 in the morning, and all I had was a piece of toast with some peach jam that I had made, and it had way too much sugar in it, and so I was getting a carb headache by the time I hit Stockton. Well, I just happened to know that on March Lane in Stockton, there's a delicious Chick-fil-A restaurant. So I stopped in there. And man, I'm telling you what, it is so efficient and smooth. And the whole process is just streamlined, and man, it just clicks along and you are served and you're happy, right? You pull up to In-N-Out. The one I like to stop in is the one in Santanella. And they have that glass window. And you get to see that potato cutter being put to use, right? And you see the peeled potatoes, and they plop it in there, and it's just amazing how they do that. You know, it's just everything is flying, and you watch, and it's just like all of these bodies just moving in sync, and all of that. And then, if you've been to the Hollister here, Hollister McDonald's, you see this. Hey, man, what's going on? Yeah, man, it's been a great weekend. And customers standing there at the counter waiting to be acknowledged that they even exist, right? So there's a difference in the process. And so it didn't used to be that way for McDonald's. Now, my personal opinion is, and I'm not preaching against McDonald's tonight, all right? But I just think McDonald's is having some problems, and they've got to get the customer service figured out again, because there are other companies that have got it figured out and that are doing a great job with it. And as a result of that, their business is growing and their chains are multiplying the stores and locations. So how does that have to relate to what we're talking about tonight? Well, I'd like to talk to you about spiritual multiplication. You see, at the corporate headquarters level, there is a training, there is a philosophy of customer service, and a philosophy of quality control that is instilled into owners and managers. And it is drilled into the head, and then they are taken to a facility, and they observe, and they watch how it's done. And then they get integrated into the system, and they're trained in that system. And then when they're trained, then they are released to go into their own environment and to replicate what has been given to them amongst their own workers. And that's what management is it's delegation, it's supervision, it's training, it's replication, it's multiplying one's self. And so tonight, as we just have a conversation, I would really like to be down there with you, at least on the floor level, but the camera's keeping me up here tonight, so you just have to work through that, all right? And at least I might have to work through that. But take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. All right, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the Scripture says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Anybody like track and field? Have you been watching the Olympics? This week, I guess, the United States relay team was disqualified because they handed the baton off in the wrong zone or something like that. And then they came back and they challenged it because the official at the race put them in the wrong lane or something. And so they weren't used to passing the baton there. And so anyway, I think they got that all straightened out and they're back in the competition and so forth. But the passing of the baton, as one person runs a segment of the race. They go to their maximum level and then they stretch out and hand that baton off to the next person who runs their segment of the race. No one runner can do the whole race himself or herself. They need a team to do that. So tonight, as a church family, we are a team. As a pastor, my ministry for you is to hand you the baton and say, it's time to run the race. It's time for you to do the work of the ministry. So in this, we see four different generations with the baton in their hand. So the things which thou hast heard of me, that would be Paul. The same, meaning to Timothy, commit thou, Timothy. So Timothy's the second generation. He has the baton in his men. He's to pass it off to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And the others also are the ones that finish the race for the team. Now let me just put it this way. We may be tonight that generation that comes up to the finish line. How are we doing in our run with the baton? Are we going to be there? I've got a lot of scriptures just floating around in my mind that I would like to go to. But why don't we start with what we've been memorizing as a church on Sunday morning? What chapter is that? John 15. So let's just go there for a moment. All right, in John chapter 15, I want us to notice a few verses. Okay, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. But then he goes on to say in verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. All right, now what's the secret that Jesus is sharing here in these two verses about bearing fruit? What is it? It's abiding, all right, abiding in Him, remaining in Him. So, during the ministry of Jesus, in His relationship with the disciples, He took men who were curious. Master, where are you staying right now? Are you at the Hilton? Are you at Motel 6? All right. What they found out was that the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes in the ground, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. And so He just said to them, simply, come and see. But then 4 months later, we come to the end of chapter 4 in the Gospel of John. And Jesus calls them again. And this time He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So the first invitation was very simple. Just watch. Watch what's going on. But now the second invitation is to come and to be with Him. Now isn't it interesting that after Jesus has gone to heaven, when the disciples are called into the court, that they took notice of Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. All right, so that was the second phase. Luke 9 is the third phase. So, send I you. And the 70 went out and they preached in His name. And people believed on Jesus and demons were cast out. And they came back and they were so happy. And they reported to Jesus. Jesus was watching. And so he says, why don't you go and do it and I'll give you the feedback. All right? But then Jesus comes to Matthew 28 and John 15 and he says, make disciples. Great. All right? Now, that would be like a contractor who builds homes saying to those that are on his crew, hey, I want you to make the best custom houses in the United States of America. Great. We all want to do that. But how? How do we do that? So he goes on to explain. Going, teaching, baptizing. And so the fourth step would be, you could put it this way. Make disciples by remaining in me. So that's why our personal walk with the Lord is so important, that we're abiding in Jesus, because that's where the fruit will be. So for us to fulfill what is on the bulletin board back there, don't you suppose we have to be in the Word of God ourselves and growing? It was interesting this week of the several people that I had an opportunity to disciple. One of them said to me, you know, I was asked a lot of questions this week and realized I didn't know as much as I wanted to know. And so where do I get that information? It's like, in the Bible. And then when we turned our attention to the lesson, guess what the material was? Reading the Word of God, being in the Bible. And so this is where we have to start out with, is the Scriptures. But tonight I want to talk to you about multiplication and how to go through that. Now, I have a couple of books that I will recommend to you. If you're serious about this, this is The Disciple Making Pastor by Bill Hull. The other one is The Master Plan of Evangelism and Discipleship by Robert Coleman. Both of these are excellent work. And what both authors do is they take the gospel accounts of the ministry of Jesus and they open up to us the scriptures that show us the process that Jesus used to multiply disciples. Now, let me ask you this question. What if Paul had told Timothy, learn the things that I've committed to you? Would Paul, through teaching Timothy, reproduce himself in Timothy? Yeah, he would. Okay? So, addition or reproduction is not the same thing as multiplication. So that's not where Paul stopped with Timothy. Timothy, multiply and replicate yourself in faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So there was a continuous passing of the baton from Paul to Timothy to faithful men to others also. Now, I know this is a sad comparison because the church is not a fast food chain. But what the comparison really is about the philosophy, the purity of the philosophical view of these corporate chains that are training and instilling and releasing and supervising and then eventually saying, now go do it too, because you're trained and you know how. And we'll know if something's going wrong because the results will come back to us in the form of sales, right? And if your sales are down, then we're going to come in and we're going to watch you and figure out if the process is broken down, because, you know, these major corporations, they spend massive amounts of money in market research. So much so that one church multiplier has said this: if you want to start a new church in the community, find out where McDonald's is opening up, because they've done their demographic studies. They know what's there. All right. So these companies, they're not dumb. All right. They know what they're doing. And so they've been able to take that philosophy of customer service and quality control and to multiply themselves. And that's why there are thousands of these chains, and you can drive through the country, and the place, the fast food place that's in San Diego that has the same name of the place that you pull up to in Philadelphia, you know that the same thing is going to happen there, right? And so I'm not saying that we need to be cookie cutter churches, all right, in replicating in that way. But I'm saying, have we lost the knowledge that Jesus passed on to us in the Gospels on how to make disciples? All right. So, in the book, I'm just going to not be original tonight at all. I'm going to turn to a chapter here, page 190. It's called Pastor as Coach. All right. And he just shares with us the six steps of Jesus. So, I could stand up here tonight and I could tell you what we should be doing, and I can tell you why we should be doing it. But if that's all I ever did, then you would get discouraged, because you wouldn't know how to go about it. You wouldn't know when. You wouldn't know where. And you wouldn't have a vehicle. So the idea of what's back here on this bulletin board is to give you a vehicle, a way of replicating the purity of the philosophy of Jesus and multiplying yourself into faithful people. And so we'll talk about what kind of people do you look for as you begin to disciple and to mentor people. And so we'll just get into that. But I just would like to read to you very simply the way that Jesus went about this. Tell them what? Okay. So I've told you what recently. What is the Great Commission? Give me some feedback. Make disciples. All right. So we've told you what. Why do we want to make disciples? Yeah, to obey, but to glorify God. To increase the kingdom of God on the earth. One person, one family at a time. But now tonight I would like to spend some other time just showing you from the Scripture how. And here's an invitation. All right, this is an open invitation for anyone that's in the room tonight, for those that are online. If you would like to learn how to disciple, to coach, to mentor another Christian one-on-one, I'll be glad to invite you to a discipleship appointment and show you how that's done. Now, this is one of the opportunities that Josiah has had this summer, is sitting in on the discipleship appointments that I have with younger believers. And so there's starts out on Tuesday. A young man that's a co-worker of Maria's. And then there's a school parent on Wednesday. There's an elderly lady on Friday. There's a middle-aged man on Friday afternoon. There's a young family on Tuesday evening. And I know I'm forgetting a couple of others, but Josiah's been able to sit on those and watch those. A couple of weeks ago, we had a young family over to our home. And so my family and Josiah got to see how that works in the home setting. So I'll just give you an invitation to come along at a discipleship appointment and to sit down in a group of three, four people and just learn how to multiply yourself. Yes, you're going to reproduce yourself, but what we're going to be asking of them eventually is that they'll take what they're learning and pass it on. Now, one of the books on the back, the green one on the bulletin board, it's called One by One. It specifically takes that whole philosophy. And by the time they're done with the 26 lessons, it asks them to start over with someone else. They invite someone into that process. And so that's multiplication. So I'll just invite you, hey, listen, sit down and just watch what goes on. So this last week, we had an opportunity to sit down, and maybe it was 2 weeks ago. And so an opportunity to bring the gospel up, or a part of the gospel, I felt like the Holy Spirit was just saying, okay, present the gospel here. And so we had an opportunity. I said, Josiah, do you remember the story of the acrobat Blondine, the tightrope walker? And so Josiah picked up the story because he's been going through the exchange message and learning how to present the gospel. And that particular story illustrates repentance and faith. And so the story goes like this. Blondine was an acrobat tightrope walker, and he set up a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he would go across it himself. He carried his promoter across on his back. He rigged up a special wheelbarrow and went out into the middle of the rope and cooked an omelet in the wheelbarrow. And so then he came back and he worked the crowd. He says, who believes that I could take a person across in the wheelbarrow? Crowds ecstatically waving, yes, yes, yes. You, sir, get in. Bolted, all right? Yes, that's in theory, I believe that someone else can be safely taken across, but you're not going to do it with my life. Well, see, that's dependence and trust, trusting Jesus Christ alone. And so that was a great opportunity just to take a part of the gospel, and Josiah did that very well. And so tonight, just show them how to do it. Now, what are some things that Jesus showed his disciples how to do? You remember anything?
Pray.
Okay. Lord, teach us how to pray. And what did he give them? He gave them Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. Okay. They were trying to do something on their own when Jesus was up on a mountain. They come back down and they could not do it. And the Lord rebuked them and said, this kind cometh out, but not through, but through prayer and fasting. The Lord taught them how to cast out demons. The Lord taught them how to be a servant. He took off his teacher's garments and put on the servant's robe and washed their feet and said, you call me master and Lord, and so I am, but I also tonight am your servant. He taught them humility. Whoever be the greatest amongst you, let him be the servant of all. And so as they spent time with Jesus, opportunities for demonstration came along. So here's just a general principle. If we want to be a multiplying church, and you want to be a Christian who multiplies your life, you have to spend time with people. And so that's why I was saying, I invite you to come and spend time and let God multiply your life for His kingdom. Then, do it with them. All right? So there were many things that Jesus did with His disciples. Not only were they with Him, but they got to do it with Him. They got to help Him. All right, I can think of the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 3,000, and then just opportunities to be with Jesus and to do ministry together. So He did ministry together with them. So then He let them try it on their own. All right? So in Luke chapter 9, let's just go there for a moment. Jesus teaches great lessons on being a disciple. And he sends them on the way. Luke chapter 10, the 70 are sent out. But really, in the beginning of sending out the 70, there was a test at the end of chapter 9. There's a man who says, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. That's 9, verse 57. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my Father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. So these were obviously disciples that were in different processes with Jesus. Maybe they were observing from the outside and they approached to get closer, to come into the inside, right? I mean, it's very interesting when you stop and think about Christianity. There are people on the outside looking in. There are people on the internet tonight that will watch us later. They're on the outside looking in at church. I invite you, come on in. Let's be here in person, right? We need that human face-to-face interaction. And so, in Spain many years ago, my brother, who was a missionary, brother-in-law, who was a missionary there, they realized the social pressure that were put upon the Spaniards for attending evangelical gospel preaching churches. The bar that was next door to the church began to heckle the believers as they came in on Sunday morning and would chant in Spanish, cult, 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 cult. And so there was a lot of social pressure not to go into a church building. So my brother-in-law built on the outside of the church building a little glass window with a speaker above it so that the Spaniards could stand on the sidewalk and look in and see what was going on, and then hear the gospel message at the same time because of that social pressure. But some people are on the outside looking in. So these disciples in Luke 9, I think they were on the outside looking in and saying, hey, I want to do this. So Jesus began to set the criteria for them. And so Jesus is in different stages with some of these. He called one in verse 59. What a great opportunity. Follow me. I mean, that's more than just take a look. I mean, that's an invitation to be with the 12, is it not? To be part of a larger group. And so verse 61, and he said to another, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto them, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So there were three disciples who had an invitation to enter into a life of multiplication. One of them was actually invited by Jesus himself. But these three failed. Now, praise God, turn the page, you come to chapter 10, and it says this, And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. So, Jesus teamed them up. Have you ever noticed the strategy of the cults? When they knock on your door, there's always two, sometimes three. And one is going to be the trainer, and one is going to be the trainee. And so, shoot for the trainee. right, when you're sharing the gospel with them. But they know what this is all about. Do we? Do we team up with someone else? That's why I'm saying, hey, let's come in, let's do this together. Let's multiply our lives, and not just reproduce, but let's multiply. And so, once this gets established in a church, here's a beautiful thing. We can produce disciples in batches. All right, now I know you've heard this question before. All right, and now if I was a wealthy man and could legitimately offer to you right now two gifts, either $1 million right here on the spot or a penny that multiplies every day, which one would you take? It multiplies every day for a year. So at the end of a year, you can either have $1 million by taking it right now, or you can have the results of a penny that multiplies every day for a year. Which would you take? Well, the estimate is that if you accepted $1 million, well, you get $1 million. But if you took a penny that multiplied itself every day, then at the end of a year, you would have over $10 million. Okay? So that's very simple. And so that's why I'm saying, if we can get one that will multiply themselves, then that's two. We get two that multiply themselves, and that's four. We get four that multiplies themselves, and that's 16. And then it just keeps on growing exponentially. And so it seems like this doesn't work. It seems like this is very slow. Do you know how long the come and see phase lasted with the disciples? 4 months. Do you know how long the phase of come and be with me lasted? 10 months. Do you know how long the whole time together with the Lord and the 12 was? Somewhere between 36 and 38 months. But at the end of that time, He had trained these men so well that they were able to preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and there were that day added to them 3,000. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And do you think the apostles' doctrine and their teaching included how to share the gospel? How to then disciple those that were following Jesus? So let's go over to Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 40 for just a moment. Here's another principle of multiplication, reproduction, multiplication. Chapter 6, verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Okay, so that's the purity of the philosophical drive. This is what corporations do in training their people. We want you to look exactly like us, so that will replicate in the situation that you find yourself. Jesus is saying, when a disciple-making Christian multiplies and replicates themselves, then it's going to build into that next Christian that of multiplication, not just reproduction, but multiplication. So you end up looking like Jesus. Now, I've shared with you on a couple of different occasions that the young ministerial students at Bob Jones University under Bob Jones Sr. used to come out preaching like Bob Jones Sr. Those that sat under Dr. Bob Jones Jr. came out preaching like Dr. Bob Jones Jr. I guarantee you those that go to West Coast come out preaching and thinking like Paul Chappell. Those that years ago went to Hiles Anderson came out looking like, forgot his name. Doesn't matter. But they look like the one who trains them, right? And many times they have the same mannerisms, the same preaching style, but the same philosophy of ministry. Well, I would like to challenge us as a church. Let's take this philosophy of ministry that Jesus has left us in the New Testament. And let's go beyond tonight the what and the why. Let's move forward. Let's go into the how. There's a vehicle that is there. Let's move forward into what it looks like to multiply in your life. All right, so now let's close tonight, just a couple of minutes. I'm going to go back here to page about 133, and I'm just going to flip through some paragraph headings for you. What are the kind of people that we're looking for? But if you would go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the things which you have heard of me amongst many witnesses, thou, Timothy, commit to faithful men. What kind of men? Faithful. Alright. So this is the number one characteristic that if you're going to multiply your life, you find someone else who's going to be faithful with the teachings of Jesus. If people start dropping discipleship appointments, then you know they're not faithful. And you know it's time to look for someone else, to pray the Lord will give you a different opportunity. Because what are you going to be asking them to do, according to 2 Timothy 2:2? You're going to ask them to take that and commit it to those that will be faithful to teach others also. So there has to be a purity of commitment, of faithfulness to a radical way of the life of Jesus. Be faithful. Take what's committed to you as a serious responsibility. It's a treasure that's deposited to the next generation. And you're asking them to take it seriously too, and to do something with their lives. So, faithfulness, all right, means finding the right people. So, first of all, it's finding the qualified people. A qualified person, first of all, is a faithful person. All right. The next one is the evaluation of their character. In the Gospels, when Jesus comes back a second time to take the disciples into a further step, he calls them while they are mending their nets. Why would a fisherman be mending their nets? Yeah, they're losing fish. All right? Because the quality of the net is not what it needs to be. So they're fixing the net. It's very interesting. The Greek word for mending their nets is the Greek word kartizomo, which means to equip. They were equipping their nets. The same word is used in Corinthians, that the pastor there in the church at Corinth was to equip Syntyche and Euodias to be of the same mind. That phrase, same mind, means to equip relationally. See, the character of a person is so important to equip somebody. You have to look at the character of a person. Because if someone's life is full of sin, it's like a broken net. They'll go out to do ministry, and they'll cast the net, and they'll pull it back in. But guess what makes it out of the net? All the souls that they were fishing for. Because Jesus called them to be fishers of men. And so spiritual ministry will escape you because the character of your life is not what it needs to be. So, for time's sake tonight, I don't want to wear you out. We'll continue this conversation. Two things to look for in people as you begin to multiply your life. You invite them into a relationship. And then you set appointments to go through some kind of material and you talk it through. I had an opportunity to share, and I usually do this with everybody that I sit down and explain how I disciple them. I'm not so much concerned about getting material done as I am getting the person done. So if they come to me with questions, I'm going to answer those questions, but then I might ask this question. If I'm not hearing the reason for the question, then I'll just come right out and say, "So now why are you asking that question?" Because this is what I know from the Scripture. Knowledge puffs up. Just spiritual information without life transformation leads to pride. And so I just said this week to another person that I'm working with, and Josiah got to hear, "Hey, I'm not so much concerned about getting the material done as I am getting you done. So I'm going to take your time to answer your questions." And I've said that to many people. But tonight, we'll just stop with this two, and there are many more that we'll talk about in the days coming ahead. Two character traits that you're looking for is faithfulness, so you know that you can deposit something of great value with them, and then character, so the harvest doesn't escape your life or their life. So tonight, let's just close with a word of prayer, and I challenge you, take one of these books and invite somebody into that relationship. And if you don't want to teach it, I'll be glad to teach it. You just set the appointment. I'll go through round one with you and begin to show you how to do that. And then eventually, if you're taking it seriously, your character is faithful, and your life and your character are sound, then you'll become a fisher.